Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are wading into a really complex and honestly often confusing area of medicine. Chronic immune conditions. You know, the ones autoimmunity, autoinflammation, MTS, CIRS. It's this sort of alphabet soup of acronyms.
Right.
And patients often collect these labels as they move from one specialist to another, feeling like their body is, I don't know, fighting it self in four different ways at once.
It really is a fragmented landscape, and that fragmentation itself is, well, it's telling.
How so?
The sources we looked at suggest this complexity isn't just random. It partly reflects our better diagnostic tools. We can categorize things much more finely now.
Better microscopes, so more names for things.
Exactly. But, and this is crucial, it also seems to reflect a real increase in immune dysregulation. Think about the chronic stressors we face now.
Like processed diets, constant stress.
Altered microbiomes, environmental toxins, yeah. All these things are pushing the system off balance. Yeah.
Okay, but the puzzle, right, is that even with all these different labels, the patient experience often feels strangely similar. You hear about fatigue, unpredictable flares, this hypersensitivity.
Yes.
So we're looking for the shared logic underneath it all. The mission for this deep dive is really to try and establish a unifying framework.
Because if we could understand the single system that's maybe not broken, but malfunctioning,
yeah,
then we can start thinking about how to heal it.
Right.
And the core insight here, the one that really resonated from the sources, is viewing the body less like a collection of failing parts and more like a house of alarms.
A house of alarms. I like that.
It helps frame these diverse conditions, whether they hit the joints, the gut, the nervous system, as variations on one theme.
Yeah.
The protective systems are losing their balance, their coherence.
So it's about discrimination. The immune system's main job is figuring out what's self, what's safe, what's actually dangerous.
Precisely. And when that discrimination slips, the defenses, well, they turn destructive.
Okay, so this house of alarms metaphor, it feels really useful for sorting out these different diagnoses. It helps us categorize them based on where the alarm system went wrong. Let's map out the four common malfunctions the sources highlighted.
Sounds good. Where should we start?
Let's start with autoinflammatory disorders. This feels like the older part of the system, the innate defense, running too hot, the sources called it. The smoke detectors are too sensitive.
That's a great way to put it. The innate immune system is ancient. It's nonspecific. It's the first responder.
Right.
In this scenario, it's reacting wildly to something minor, like mistaking harmless steam from the shower for actual smoke.
So you get symptoms like random fevers, rashes, swelling, but there's no real infection, no specific target.
Exactly. It's an immediate, aggressive, but ultimately nonspecific overreaction. No clear enemy identified.
Okay, so contrast that sort of rapid, nonspecific alarm with autoimmunity. This involves the other side, the adaptive immune system, the part with memory.
Yes, the adaptive system creates specific targeted weapons. And here, the metaphor is stark. Mm. The security system attacks the furniture.
Oh, wow.
In autoimmunity, the system has fundamentally misidentified the body's own tissues. Maybe the thyroid, the joints, the pancreas, as a foreign intruder.
So it's a failure of recognition, distinguishing self from other just breaks down.
Completely, and that leads to chronic tissue damage. The problem isn't just the alarm being too loud, it's aimed at the wrong target entirely.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we have conditions defined more by this like instantaneous system-wide reaction. Let's talk MCAs, mast cell activation syndrome.
Yes, mast cells. They're like the rapid response grenades of the immune system packed with chemicals like histamine.
And when they get activated inappropriately?
They dump their entire load. So the analogy here is the sprinklers drenching the entire house for a single spark.
Whoa. So a tiny trigger causes a massive disproportionate reaction.
Yeah, exactly. A strong smell, a certain food, even stress or a temperature change can set off this huge chemical release.
And the symptoms reflect that flood. Flushing, brain fog, hives, sudden gut issues.
Yes, because those chemicals hit multiple systems all at once. It's systemic chaos from a localized trigger.
And finally, there's CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. This seems different again. It's about the system getting stuck on, often after something like mold exposure.
That's the key. The metaphor is the alarms keep ringing long after the fire is out.
So the initial reaction might have been appropriate.
It might have been. Maybe there was a dangerous toxin, like mold biotoxins. But the system lacks the off switch. It fails to reset the sensors even when the trigger is gone.
Leaving the whole body kind of perpetually on edge, exhausted.
Exactly. Hypervigilant and worn out by this alarm that just won't shut off. So you see, while the symptoms look different across these four,
autoimmune, autoinflammatory, MCS, CIRS.
They all reflect this loss of appropriate scale, timing, and targeting within the defensive network. The alarms are malfunctioning in different ways.
That definitely clarifies the diagnoses. But it leads to the big question, doesn't it? Why are these alarms failing so consistently in the first place? If it's not just about one specific food or one specific bug, what are the deeper rules governing this?
Right. And that's where we need to move beyond just diagnosis towards, you know, understanding the underlying dynamics for healing. We need to look at the rules governing the entire immune environment.
Okay.
The sources point to three really critical principles that seem to drive chronic inflammation, things that aren't always obvious.
Let's get into them. What's the first one?
The first is about thresholds, loads, and tipping points. You've probably heard the bucket analogy.
Yeah, the idea that things build up.
Exactly.
Okay.
People often feel their illness is completely unpredictable. A flare comes out of nowhere.
And they fixate on the last thing they ate or did, right? Like it must have been that one piece of bread.
Right, but that's often misleading because the single cause is usually a myth in chronic illness. Instead, think of every stressor. Maybe it's inflammatory food, maybe poor sleep, an argument, a toxin, as adding a drop to this bucket.
So it's cumulative.
It's totally cumulative. A flare is just the moment the bucket overflows. The last drop seems like the cause, but it only had that effect because the bucket was already full.
Ah, I see. So healing isn't just about dodging that last drop.
No, it's about managing the total load. Reducing the inflow of stressors, yes, but also making sure your body's drainage system, detoxification, rest, lymphatic flow is working well enough to empty the bucket faster than it fills up.
So we need to lower the overall water level, not just worry about the final splash. That makes a lot of sense. But what about when the alarm has gone off legitimately? How do we ensure the system resets properly and doesn't get stuck?
That brings us perfectly to the second principle, one that's often missed. Resolution, the forgotten program.
Forgotten? How so?
We tend to think of recovery as passive. Like if you just stop the inflammation, everything goes back to normal automatically.
Right, just remove the bad thing.
But the sources emphasize that recovery or resolution is an active, biologically demanding process. It's a specific program the body needs to run.
And if that program fails,
then the inflammation just lingers. The reset button is effectively broken. The system can't properly stand down.
Okay, so what does that resolution program actually need to run? What are the components?
Well, a key part involves specialized pro-resolving mediators, or SPMs. Think of them as tiny peacekeeper molecules.
Peacekeepers.
Yeah, they're derived mostly from omega-3 fatty acids. Their job is to signal that the threat is neutralized, guide the immune cells back to their resting state, and initiate the cleanup process.
So you need the building blocks, the omega-3s.
You absolutely need the building blocks. But there's another huge player, the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
It's part of the autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic side.
The rest and digest system.
Exactly. And it sends calming, anti-inflammatory signals directly to immune cells throughout the body. It basically broadcasts the all-clear message.
So if resolution isn't happening, it could be. Well, either we don't have enough of those SPM building blocks.
Right, maybe due to diet.
Or the vagus nerve isn't sending that calming signal effectively.
Precisely. And that often links back to chronic stress.
Mm.
If you're constantly stuck in sympathetic fight or flight mode, your vagal tone is suppressed.
So the central command keeps shouting, danger.
And the immune cells on the ground never get the message that it's safe to stand down and start repairs. The resolution program gets blocked.
Wow. And running this constant defense or even trying to run the resolution program must take a lot of energy.
Absolutely. Which leads directly into our third principle, the role of energy in mitochondria.
The powerhouses of the cell. Everyone with these conditions talks about fatigue, brain fog.
Yeah.
It feels central.
It really is. And mitochondria are way more than just powerhouses. They're also crucial environmental sensors, almost like thermostats for the cell. They regulate reactivity.
How do they do that?
When they detect danger, could be toxins, chronic stress signals, lingering infection, they can shift the cell into what the sources call the cell danger response, or CDR.
The cell danger response. What does that actually mean for the cell's priorities?
It means survival mode. The cell fundamentally reallocates its energy. It prioritizes immediate defense and protection over higher level, long-term functions.
Like what kind of functions?
Like active resolution, tissue repair, complex cognitive processes, even hormone production. energy, the ATP molecule, gets diverted away from those things.
And channeled towards keeping the immune defenses up.
Exactly. Towards maintaining those defensive barricades. And that energy redirection is why you see such profound fatigue and brain fog across so many of these conditions.
So it's not just being tired, it's a physiological shift.
It's a core decision by the cell to prioritize immediate survival, even if it severely impacts your quality of life day to day. The immune system is essentially trying to run a marathon defense program on a low-power grid.
That's a powerful distinction. So strengthening that power grid, supporting the mitochondria, seems absolutely foundational if you want to break that chronic cycle.
It's non-negotiable.
Okay, so we've got these three big principles: managing load and thresholds, enabling the resolution program, and supporting mitochondrial energy. If regulating that load and restoring coherence is the goal, how do we actually apply this?
Right. How do we make it practical?
The sources lay out a kind of roadmap, didn't they? 7 actionable rules for shifting the whole context, for calming down that house of alarms.
Yes, this is where systems thinking becomes therapy. We stop just trying to suppress symptoms and focus on managing the terrain, the environment within which the immune system operates.
Makes sense. So rule number 1 has to be about that bucket, right?
Yeah.
Reduce unnecessary load.
Absolutely. It starts with an audit. What are the biggest drops filling up your bucket? Dietary triggers, hidden toxins in your home, chronic emotional stress, financial worries. You identify the biggest, most constant stressors and work to remove or mitigate them.
Clean up the inputs. Then rule 2 seems to be about the perimeter. Seal and heal barriers.
Critical. Think gut lining, skin, blood-brain barrier. If these walls are compromised, what people often call leaky, then things that should stay out, like partially digested food proteins or bacterial fragments, can slip through.
And trigger the alarms unnecessarily.
Constantly. Setting off low-level chronic inflammation. Strong walls make for a stable, quiet house.
Okay, rule 3 focuses more on the internal environment. Recharge energy and flow.
This is partly about mitochondria giving them the nutrients they need, but it's also about physical flow. Gentle movement, practices that support lymphatic drainage.
Why is that flow so important?
Because after an immune response, there's cellular debris left over. Think of it like battlefield cleanup. If that debris isn't cleared effectively through good circulation and lymphatic flow, it can linger and keep signaling danger, keeping the alarms buzzing.
Got it. Clear out the old debris. And rule 4 tackles resolution head on. Reset alarms through resolution.
This is the active step. It means consciously supporting those peacekeeper SPMs, often through things like high-quality omega-3 supplements.
And supporting the vagus nerve.
Yes. Deliberately incorporating practices that boost vagal tone. Things like humming, gargling, slow deep breathing, maybe even cold exposure, sending that biochemical all-clear signal.
Okay, rule 5 feels a bit different, more philosophical. Strengthen coherence, mechanical, and social. What does that mean?
It means the immune system listens to more than just chemicals. It listens to structure and safety.
Structure, like posture.
Yes, poor posture, chronic fascial tension. These send subtle signals of physical threat or restriction to the nervous system. And socially, a lack of perceived safety, chronic conflict, or lack of trust in your relationships or community.
Also signals danger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These keep the nervous system on high alert, which prevents the immune system from fully resting. We need alignment in our bodies and a sense of safety in our lives to truly calm the alarms.
That's deep. And coherence seems linked to rule 6, respect timing and rhythms.
Intrinsically linked. The immune system, detoxification, repair processes, they all run on a schedule. Our circadian rhythm.
The body clock.
Exactly. Consistent sleep times, eating windows, and activity with daylight. These aren't just nice to haves. They're fundamental for letting the alarms know when to be vigilant and, crucially, when to switch into repair mode. A disrupted internal clock means random, inappropriate alarming.
Makes sense. Okay, finally, rule 7 looks toward the future. Rebuild tolerance through safe exposure.
This sounds counterintuitive if you're trying to avoid triggers.
It does, but it's vital. If you constantly avoid everything that seems to cause a symptom, foods, environments, social situations, the immune system can actually become more sensitive, more brittle over time.
So you need to retrain it.
Carefully, yes. Using tiny, controlled, safe exposures to cues that the body previously reacted to. It's like gently teaching the system, see, this is okay. No need for a massive reaction here. This is how you gradually expand the capacity of that bucket again.
Wow, okay, so those 7 rules provide a really comprehensive approach. Stepping back, the overall picture becomes clearer, right? The goal isn't just to silence the alarms with suppressive measures. It's about restoration.
recalibrating the alarms, making sure the house has enough power, installing that reset button.
Exactly. Optimizing the whole terrain so the body can regain its natural ability to find balance and coherence.
You know, thinking about this framework, especially coherence and load, the sources hinted at something bigger, too, that these principles don't just apply to our individual biology.
That's a really provocative thought, isn't it?
Mm.
The same rules seem to govern larger systems.
Oh, ecosystems.
Absolutely. Think about it. When you overload an ecosystem with pollutants, or you break down its natural barriers through aggressive land use, what happens?
It tips into runaway inflammation, like toxic algae blooms, or maybe those huge uncontrollable wildfires.
Precisely. The system loses its capacity for self-regulation, for resolution. It loses coherence.
And the parallel with societies feels almost uncomfortably close.
It does. Communities burdened by high chronic stress, poverty, inequality, pervasive distrust, they become collectively primed to overreact. Their social alarms are set way too high.
So a small spark, something that might normally be contained,
can ignite massive conflict because the underlying system lacks the resilience, the trust, the resolution capacity to handle it calmly.
Wow. So the immune system is kind of a mirror.
In a way, yes. The work of healing ourselves, lowering our personal load, respecting our rhythms, rebuilding tolerance and connection, it mirrors the work needed to restore coherence in our communities and maybe even our planet. It suggests that chronic illness and social fragmentation might be related phenomena, both expressions of protective systems losing their balance.
That's incredibly powerful. Coherence, then, is the ultimate goal. It's this state where your internal alarms are appropriate, they're contained, they're reliably followed by resolution.
Allowing you to feel safe, resilient, and really truly at home in your own skin again.
So, for everyone listening, maybe think about those 7 rules. Which one feels like the most neglected area in your own life right now? Is it managing the load? Is it protecting your rhythms? Is it building that sense of safety?
Because that's likely where your most immediate opportunity lies to start calming your personal house of alarms.